Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking news this noon. A short time ago, a man charged with killing two teens and injuring another appeared in court. Why his family believes he's innocent.
Also, State Auditor Beth Wood faced the judge in Raleigh this morning. We are live with the outcome of that hearing. And a Manhattan grand jury will not be meeting today on former President Donald Trump. We will have the latest on that case. Breaking news now at noon. Hundreds of thousands of people will soon be eligible for health care for the first time. Hello, everyone. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. In the past 90 minutes, the State House gave final approval to Medicaid expansion. The vote was met with applause from Democrats in the chamber.
That bill will be enrolled and sent to the governor. Members, next grouping of bills, 231.
There you go. Now, this move will allow working adults who can't afford health insurance an opportunity to get coverage. Negotiations to expand Medicaid have gone on for 13 years. The federal government will help cover nearly all the costs.
The governor says he looks forward to signing the legislation into law. There's a catch, though. The expansion does not actually happen until a new state budget is passed.
And more breaking news we're following this noon. The man accused of shooting three teenagers, killing two, just appeared in court via video.
WRAL Durham reporter Sarah Kruger was there as the 18-year-old faced a judge. Sarah, what happened at the hearing?
Renee, in court, we learned that he has no prior criminal history. The court appearance itself was very quick. I learned the most from speaking with the suspect's stepsister, who was in the courtroom to support him. She told me that her stepbrother, Jorge Benitez Mendoza, is a good kid. Police say he murdered two 16-year-olds the night before last and seriously injured another. The defendant's stepsister said she does not believe he is guilty of that. She told me she doesn't think her stepbrother was involved in any gangs. She's not even sure he had a gun. He was working part-time at Walmart and had been attending Riverside High School here in Durham until last year. Here is what the judge decided regarding his bond.
This court will set this matter for no bond, and you have your court date for April 13, 2023. Should be an attorney to see you there shortly to discuss these matters with you.
The stepsister acknowledged that Benitez Mendoza did have some rough patches as a kid, acting up a bit as she described it, but she told me he had matured and that the family actually moved to Durham pretty recently within the last few years, hoping to provide a more positive environment for him, she told me. Now the family is absolutely stunned at these latest charges and believes they may have moved to the wrong area. Jeff and Renee.
Sarah Kruger with a lot of new information about the 18-year-old suspect. Thanks, Sarah.
People who live in Durham can now track data from the city's ShotSpotter program. Durham launched the pilot program in December. The gunshot detection system is in a 3-square-mile area of the city experiencing the highest concentration of gunfire activity. The interactive data dashboard is the first known tool of its kind among ShotSpotter customers in the country. Weekly updates will detail the number of alerts, arrests, and police response times. A man accused of bringing a gun onto the campus of Clayton Middle School appeared in court this morning. 21-year-old Ubaldo Perez faces a charge of possessing a weapon on education property. Police say he set off the school's weapons detection system while picking up his siblings yesterday afternoon. The system showed Perez was carrying a 9mm handgun. He told them he didn't realize he had it with him.
State Auditor Beth Wood's hit-and-run case is heading back to court. The hearing comes a day after WRAL broke the news that two other people were charged with helping Wood get away from the crash scene. WRAL's Matt Tallhelm is live outside the Wake County Justice Center with what we're learning about today's hearing. Matt.
Renee, that hearing is scheduled for 2 o'clock here inside the courtroom here at the Justice Center. The district attorney tells me she does not expect this case to be continued to a later date. That's something that did happen the last time Wood's hit-and-run case came here to court. It was scheduled for today. Now, that would happen at the time back in January. Wood was not actually here in the courtroom, just her attorney was here. So we don't exactly know what will come of it this afternoon, but she is charged with misdemeanor hit-and-run for that December 8th crash in downtown Raleigh. Photos and videos obtained by WREL show Woods' state-issued Toyota Camry partially on top of a parked car on South Salisbury Street. That's about a block from her office, where security camera video shows Wood getting into the driver's seat and a man getting into the passenger seat right before that crash. And as we first reported yesterday, that passenger, 27-year-old Jonah Mendes, is now charged. So is 29-year-old Ryan McGirt, who police say drove Wood away from the scene there. Wood and her attorney repeatedly have not answered WREL's questions about whether she was drinking that night. She has admitted that she was at a holiday gathering earlier before the crash. I've also reached out to her attorney and a spokesperson this morning to try to find out what we can expect this afternoon and if Wood will actually be here, if any kind of plea deal will happen here in court. They said that as soon as the details are worked out on whatever that will be, that they will let us know. But of course, we will be inside the courtroom here at 2 o'clock and bring you updates throughout the afternoon.
Matt Tallhelm, live in Raleigh. Thanks. Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, the Manhattan grand jury investigating former President Donald Trump's alleged role in a scheme to pay hush money to adult film star Stormy Daniels will not hear that case when it convenes today. It's not clear what they are meeting about. It's a very secretive process. But the Manhattan District Attorney's Office is trying to determine whether to call back Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, to refute the testimony that was provided earlier this week by lawyer Robert Costello. The Manhattan grand jury is expected to meet on Monday, when it is possible that they will also hear from additional testimony from a witness as well.
Thanks, Michelle. A cold front is crossing the country. It'll arrive here Saturday, and it looks like it'll bring a few showers to our area. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look at that timeline and how you can plan your outdoor activities around it.
Yeah, it looks beautiful outside right now. This is, of course, a live look at downtown Raleigh. People out and about enjoying the sunshine. Of course, it was a cloudy start this morning, but this high pressure system down to the south is pushing the warm air in and helping to clear things out. A couple of things are going to happen. One, we're going to see tomorrow this front slipping southward. It's not going to have a major effect on our weather, but it'll be followed by a cold front that's going to bring us a chance of some showers on Saturday. Here's a look at that warm front as we get into first thing Saturday. That's Saturday at 5 a.m. We're going to take a look at the big picture first, and then we're going to zoom in a little more closely on this. So we do have a flow coming up from the south, keeping things warm, a band of showers, possible thunderstorms, depending on the timeline of this. If it's a little later in the afternoon, we would have a better chance of thunderstorms. But it looks like this is going to be such a small band of rain that comes through. It just doesn't look like it's going to produce a whole lot of rain. We'll also be watching for the timeline for some rain Sunday night into Monday. We'll talk more about that coming up. This is potentially 5 o'clock Saturday morning. We might start off with clear skies. And then as we head into the afternoon, you can see right around lunchtime, this very small broken band of rain that moves through, maybe an isolated rumble of thunder. And then in the afternoon, we clear out. So certainly it's not a deal breaker for any outdoor plans on Saturday. We're going to just see that band of showers moving through right around lunchtime. So 40% chance, but it is likely to move through very quickly, and we're not likely to see a whole lot of rain out of it. 81 on Saturday, mostly sunny on Sunday with a high of 80 degrees. So it generally looks like a really nice weekend.
New at noon, we are getting a peek at the next electric SUV from VinFast, the Vietnamese-based electric car maker building a factory in Chatham County. WREL's Brian Schrader has a look at this new upcoming model, Brian.
Jeff, they're calling it the VF9, and VinFast says it eventually is going to be sold here in the United States. Now, here's a look at that new SUV. Reuters quotes VinFast as saying the VF9 will have three rows of seats and two electric motors. It also says the SUV will charge to 70% from 10% battery in just over a half hour. Price starts at $83,000, and Reuters says that after Vietnam, VinFast plans to sell the VF9 in the United States in the next few months. Now, of course, VinFast has been in the news a lot lately. Earlier this month, we learned that VinFast will not start producing vehicles from its Moncure factory here in North Carolina until 2025. Originally, it planned to produce them in 2024. And last week, we learned that several key executives had left the company. Chatham County's manager tells WREL the departures have no effect on the company's plans here in North Carolina. Now, you can read more and see those pictures of the VF9 in our story at WRLTechWire.com, Jeff.
All right. Sharp vehicle, Brian. Thanks for the look.
An effort to prevent dangerous encounters between people with autism and police could take a big step forward today. The North Carolina House is set to vote on a bill to change driver's licenses. It would add a designation on the license for people with autism. The goal is to help officers better understand their interactions with drivers and avoid confrontations.
Just after 12, and we take a look right now at noon at the Dow Jones Industrial Average making a rebound from yesterday and all the turmoil with the Fed waiting on that word. Got it. And now up 404 points this noon, trying to make back some of the gains. Meantime, next at noon, the hunt is over for a teenage attempted murder in Denver, where police found him and how they say he died.
Also on top of rain, flooding, and heavy snow in California, where a rare tornado touched down and the damage it caused.
Plus, stuck in a storm drain, how five kids in New York needed a 911 dispatcher to save the day.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Denver police say the teenager who shot two adults at his high school died by suicide. Police say they found his body 50 miles away from the school last night. NBC's Morgan Chesky reports.
Overnight, 17-year-old suspect Austin Lyle found dead 50 miles from the scene of a violent school shooting in Denver.
There was no interaction. The subject was deceased when the SWAT team found him.
The hunt for Lyle ending hours after police say he shot two school administrators Wednesday morning at Denver's East High School.
He has not picked here. Student has a weapon. Do not know where they are.
Police say Lyle shot Gerald Mason and Eric Sinclair as they were performing a safety search in front of the school. It was part of a safety plan that required Lyle to be patted down every day before entering school because of past behavior.
The handgun was retrieved and several shots were fired, striking those two individuals. That individual then fled.
Parents and students understandably shaken and angry.
I'm scared for my life.
Protect our children.
Wednesday's shooting taking place just 1 month after another East High student, 16-year-old Luis Garcia, was shot in his car just north of the school, dying in the hospital 1 week later. That incident prompting a walkout. Students marching to the state capitol, protesting gun violence. Both shootings follow a controversial decision in 2020 by the district to remove Denver police school resource officers from every campus.
What's more important, being safe or feeling safe?
Yeah.
We need armed security.
Wednesday, Denver's school superintendent reversing that move, committing to having armed guards at Colorado's East High and every other comprehensive high school through the end of the year. Writing in part, "I acknowledge this action likely violates executive limitations. However, I can no longer stand on the sidelines. I am willing to accept the consequences of my actions." Actions some in the community say are two shootings too late.
That was Morgan Chesky reporting. Neither police nor education leaders disclosed the specific conduct that led the school to adopt an individualized security protocol for the student.
Family possessions from the South Carolina hunting estate where Alec Murdoch's wife and son were killed are headed to auction right now. An auction house in Georgia is open with items up for bidding starting at noon. Items on the auction block include hunting jackets, furniture, lamps, and many more items. The auction house says its social media accounts have been swamped with questions since it got the items last week. The owner says she's concerned about crowds today, but she will have security on hand to keep things organized. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is changing his stance on Ukraine as speculation grows about a possible run for the Republican presidential nomination in 2024. In an interview that will air today, DeSantis branded Russian President Vladimir Putin a war criminal and said he was wrong to invade Ukraine. He had previously called the invasion a territorial dispute. DeSantis faced criticism from top Republicans for those comments.
As much of California deals with flooding, heavy snow and damage from another atmospheric river, a rare tornado ripped through part of Montebello. That's near Los Angeles. The storm injured at least one person and damaged several buildings. Max Gordon reports.
It's the most powerful tornado to hit the Los Angeles area in 40 years. An EF1 tornado touching down here in Montebello on Wednesday, causing damage to more than a dozen buildings and leaving at least one person injured. You can see here roofs ripped off, buildings and cars destroyed as the tornado rolled through the town with winds up to 110 miles per hour.
In California, tornado is very highly unusual. However, if we look over a broader area, if strong Pacific storm systems move onshore and create favorable conditions.
You need to get out of here.
The National Weather Service says it was the result of a single thunderstorm that started around 11 a.m. local time on Wednesday. 17 buildings were damaged, 11 so badly that they've been deemed too dangerous to use. It was mostly confined to an industrial commercial business area where some say they feel lucky to have made it out alive.
That's the most important thing, man, to survive, to be alive. And we'll be all right.
The tornado here in Montebello came just hours after the latest bomb cyclone winter storm hit the California coast from San Diego to San Francisco, bringing flooding, high winds, and heavy snowfall to a widespread area. Now, as the storm moves east, folks are assessing the damage and looking ahead to the recovery process, but it won't be easy.
I mean, the wind blew two power lines down, knocked down a tree, and our fence is knocked down also.
Again, that was tornado damage, not in Oklahoma or Kansas, but California. There were still tens of thousands of customers without power as of this morning and around 14,000 under mandatory evacuation orders due to flooding. California just can't catch a break.
No, tornadoes, I mean, so rare there, but we've been talking for months about how bad the weather has been, how tough that they have had it around here. It's going to be
it's a good
day to mow the lawn. We got some nice, clean, straight lines out back.
We do. They've been busy back there. Look how gorgeous it is. We've got tulips that are blooming everywhere in the gardens right now and a few other things. This, of course, the azalea garden where we have an acre plus of so many different varieties of azaleas. When they start to bloom, they sort of bloom, you know, this group blooms and that one blooms. And so it can last for as much as 3+ weeks. We've already started to see some of the early ones blooming, but the bulk of them haven't started to bloom yet. I thought maybe they would because it was so warm, but I think the cold spell that we saw last week sort of stopped the blooming. But they are probably going to start to pop out now over the next few days, these very warm temperatures. It's 69 degrees right now. The sun has come out. Our dew point's 58, so a little bit of moisture in the atmosphere. We'll climb on up to 80 degrees by 5 o'clock this afternoon. Really warm afternoon for us. Right now it's 64 in Fayetteville, 67 Goldsboro and in South Hill, and 66 in Roxboro. Our wind speed is steady out of the southwest. That's what's bringing us all this warmth and allowing our temperatures to warm up to around 80 degrees. So we're steady to 16 in Durham and Raleigh, 18 in Roxboro, 16 in Goldsboro. And it's a little bit gusty. The gusts here on the right side in the white box, we're gusting to almost 20 in Southern Pines and 23 in Roxboro. We can expect to see winds gusting 20 to 25 miles per hour on and off through the afternoon. And again, because it's a southwest gust, it's pushing that warm air into our region. So 80 degrees today, 88 tomorrow. We're going to talk about some of the records we could tie and break. And then Saturday stays warm, too. Earlier in the newscast, we talked about the thin band of rain that's going to come through right around lunchtime Saturday. After that, we'll climb up to around 81. So not a washout for us Saturday. Carolina Hurricanes this evening at 7 o'clock. Today would be a perfect day for getting out and tailgating. 80 degrees at 5 o'clock. At 10 o'clock when the game is over, 68 degrees. Very mild. Tomorrow, 88 degrees is our forecast, and that's the record at RDU. So we could tie that record. We could break it in Fayetteville with 88 degrees since the previous record is 87. We're going to continue to see our wind coming out of the southwest that pulls the warm air from the tropics right into our area. We have that cold front that'll come through on Saturday, but we actually have a front that will drop in right along the North Carolina-Virginia line during the day on Friday. And that means that we could see some cooler temperatures right along the Virginia line, especially, say, around the counties that border Virginia, for example, say around Roanoke Rapids. But most of us are going to see the warm temperatures. That front's going to stall just before it moves across our area. The rest of the weekend looks like it's going to be nice and mild. But looking ahead to parts of next week, the 28th through April 1st, it looks like our temperatures could be normal. We'll be right in between the above and below normal contours there. And normal temperatures this time of year are in the mid-60s. And that is where we're headed next week. 4 days in a row, temperatures in the 80s, and then we drop back down into the 60s. Notice we have no freezing temperatures in our 7-day forecast, and I know farmers are happy about that. We'll talk a little bit more about our rain for Saturday and then early next week coming up.
happening right now in the WREL Live Center. Some good news for commuters who like to take Athens Drive. It is back open today after being shut down for almost a year. This is the area here. It was closed last February so crews could safely demolish the old bridge over the Beltline and replace it. Work on traffic signals, though, at a nearby intersection of Athens and Kaplan Drive is expected to continue over the next couple of months. And they say, though the road is open, drivers still need to practice caution and be mindful of crews who will continue to work in that area until it is complete.
Busy part of Raleigh for sure. Michelle, thank you. The feds want to make it easier to cancel unwanted subscriptions. Five on Your Side breaks down the new click to cancel rule ahead at 4.
And at 5:30, a closer look at Medicaid expansion in our state. There's a catch. The state budget has to pass. What it could take to make that happen, that's ahead again at 5:30. Meantime, still ahead at noon, no wallet, no problem, where Amazon's new payment system is allowing customers to pay just by scanning the palms of their hands.
Plus, some men are using chatbots in their quest to find love. Why some accuse them of cheating, and they're not even in a relationship yet.
Dunkin' has a new menu item, and the CDC has more on the massive recall of some eye drops. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Two more deaths have been linked to bacteria in recalled eye drops. The CDC says in all, three deaths have been linked to the rare bacterial infection. The artificial tear lubricant eye drops were recalled last month. They were made by Global Pharma Healthcare and distributed by EzraCare and Delsym Pharma. The CDC says 68 people have the infection and most have reported using artificial tear eye drops. The ones from EzraCare are the most commonly reported brand. You can pay by palm at two Paneras in St. Louis. The chain is testing Amazon's palm scanning technology called Amazon One at a pair of locations in the city. Customers need to have their palm scanned and linked to a payment method in Amazon One. From there, you link your Panera loyalty program to the system. To pay, you simply scan your palm over a reader at the checkout and you're on your way. Dunkin' has added breakfast tacos to its menu. The tacos are selling for $2.59. They're packed with scrambled eggs, melted cheddar cheese, and corn. You can add crumbled bacon for an additional 40 cents. The breakfast tacos are available now. You can get them all day long at Dunkin's nationwide. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
How about this? A German brewery hopes to revolutionize the beer industry by making the beverage in powder form. The invention creates a lager the same way you'd make a protein shake or instant coffee. Simply pour a couple of spoonfuls, add water, and mix it up. It's intended to reduce the heavy carbon footprint generated from beer exports. The brewery says it tastes just like regular beer.
The dating scene has gotten so bad that some single men say they are turning to AI for help. A new report by the Daily Mail claims some men are using ChatGPT to create dating profiles and to respond to potential dates. They claim it makes them feel more confident, with some getting dates in less than an hour. Still, some people feel using AI to attract women is dishonest. It's the end of the road for one of the most well-known muscle cars. General Motors just announced it will retire its Chevy Camaro models next year. The move comes as GM switches to an all-electric lineup. To mark the end of the Camaro's production, the company will release a collector's edition package, paying tribute to the model's first generation dating back to the 1960s. Experts say if the Camaro comes back, it will likely be as an electric vehicle.
It's one of the most highly anticipated hearings of this Congress. TikTok's CEO defends his platform as lawmakers point out that it is dangerous to Americans.
And a day at the park took a scary turn for five boys who got lost in a sewer in New York. How 911 dispatchers were able to guide rescuers to the group. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
TikTok CEO testifies before Congress for the first time today in what has already proven to be a testy hearing. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle. The tech platform faces criticism over users' data potentially going to China and the impact it has on children. Doug Luzader was at the hearing as lawmakers on both sides laid out their criticism of TikTok.
The committee will come to order.
A TikTok CEO, Shou-Zi Chew, testifying before Congress for the first time. He's on a PR campaign of sorts to save his app from a nationwide ban and to highlight the good he says it's doing.
Our app is a place where people can be creative and curious.
I will remind you that making false or misleading statements to Congress is a federal crime.
Most lawmakers agree, though, that China could use the tech platform to spy on Americans. A TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, has links to Chinese owners.
What about a commitment that says that you won't sell the data that you collect? Would you commit to that?
Your platform should be banned.
Congress is working on legislation to restrict the app that has 150 million monthly users in the U.S. A TikTok CEO says a ban isn't necessary because of the steps they're taking to protect users' data using a third-party company based in the U.S.
I have seen no evidence that the Chinese government has access to that data.
I find that actually preposterous.
And the other point of contention, the impact on young users hooked on the app.
Your algorithm can promote suicide, self-harm, and eating disorders to children.
We will keep safety, particularly for teenagers, as a top priority for us.
Chu faces a chorus of bipartisan critics on this House committee, but he does have at least one supporter outside of it.
Let's not be racist towards China and express our xenophobia when it comes to TikTok.
That was Doug Luzader reporting. China says it opposes a forced sale of TikTok, which is something President Biden would like to see. And while there is a lot of talk about a possible ban, TikTok points out the app has some 150 million users here in the U.S. alone.
Paying college athletes and the impact on the game is one of the hottest topics up for debate. And now an iconic university is coming down hard on the issue. This morning on Today, the leaders at Notre Dame University said not enough is being done to regulate all the money now floating to these players. The school's president says NIL deals are already damaging college athletics.
Once you go down a path to say we're paying them for their play, you go more and more to this professional model, and you lose sight of this educational purpose that these programs were set up for in the first place.
Less than 2 years ago, the NCAA changed the rules about college athletes using their name, image, or likeness to make money. But the president and athletic director at Notre Dame say the new system is already damaging college athletics.
Last week, only on WREL, WREL Durham reporter Sarah Kruger introduced us to the Duke men's basketball walk-on who signed a $25,000 deal with Degree. 5'8" junior Spencer Hubbard says he was often underestimated because of his size, but he kept working hard. He proved his worth, earning a spot on the roster as a walk-on. Hubbard does not have a scholarship, so he says the money will go toward tuition. You can watch Sarah's story however you stream our news. 16 teams remain in the men's NCAA tournament. Play resumes tonight, and this year's lineup is unusual. The defending champion, Kansas, is out. In fact, none of the teams left have won any of the last seven national titles. None of our local teams are in the final 16, and only one is representing the ACC, the Miami Hurricanes. On the women's side, the 16 teams will play tomorrow.
The search is on for a person running a scam impersonating Apex police. Officers say they learned about the scam yesterday morning when a woman called on behalf of her elderly mother. She said her mother received a call from someone at the Apex Police Department identifying himself as Deputy Chief McKinney. The phone number the scammer used to call matched Apex Police phone number. The scammer said he was serving a warrant and directed the woman to withdraw a large sum of money, which she did. And she lost thousands of dollars.
It's brazen. And it's just showing, you know, how desperate individuals are getting to take advantage of some of our most vulnerable people in our communities. And that's the unfortunate part.
Just a reminder, police will never call and ask you for money. They will show up and serve warrants directly. Durham police are looking to hire new officers today. The police department is hosting a hiring event at its headquarters 6 to 7 tonight. You have the chance to meet with recruiters, ask questions, and learn more about what it takes to be an officer. You can register on the police department's website, and there's a link for virtual interviews there as well.
Firefighters are sharing the 911 calls from a rescue in Staten Island. Five kids were playing in the park when they got stuck in a storm drain. Gabby Acevedo tells us what the dispatcher told the kids to do that led to their rescue.
Five children between 11 and 12 years old lost inside a Staten Island drain tunnel, making a suspenseful call for help on Tuesday night.
We're stuck in the sewer.
You're stuck where?
In the sewer.
The bureau dispatcher focused on learning their exact location.
I'm trying to ask you, how did you get to the sewer?
Having been raised in the area, I knew exactly where they were. We tried to calm them down as much as we could.
The fire department says the kids were playing in Cloves Lakes Park, went into a storm drain tunnel, and got lost and disoriented.
They had traveled up to 1,300 feet, which is quite a way, and wound up the road up here by the zoo.
We got to the mouth of the tunnel. It was about a 40-inch opening, and their jackets and school bags were at the opening.
During those tense moments, the dispatcher asked the kids to scream so first responders could hear them and reach them.
Call for help, guys. They hear you. Call for help.
The children were inside the tunnel for about an hour and continued to yell for more than a minute, desperate to be heard and found.
We have all five children removed from the sewer.
The five kids were eventually found with no major injuries. Police say the children will not be charged with any violations for this incident since they were just playing outside and got lost.
Amazing that the cell phone worked in the tunnel, and that was a key component of us finding them.
Thank goodness. That was Gabby Acevedo reporting. All of the kids, along with one firefighter, were taken to the hospital to get checked out. They are all expected to be okay.
What a story. When is peak growth for your brain? New research shows it's later in life than you might think.
And subscription services don't want you to cancel, so they make it a hassle when you try to do so. How the government plans to step in to make canceling easier for you. Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Orange, Franklin, and Hope counties. A group working to make Orange County schools safer will work on making recommendations today. The 18-member School Safety Task Force includes law enforcement officers, students, and representatives from the county's two school systems. This was created in response to a demonstration by members of the far-right group, the Proud Boys, who disrupted a school board meeting in 2021. Tomorrow, NC Medicist will host a mobile free pharmacy event in Franklin County. This free medicine giveaway takes place from 9 until 2 at the Vance Granville Community College Franklin campus in Lewisburg. It is open to anyone 18 and older and families needing over-the-counter medicine. This is tomorrow. There are no income restrictions and no ID is required. And a Robeson County man is being held in a $1 million bond in connection with a drug bust. Hoke and Robeson County deputies teamed up to make the arrest. Isaac Nesby was arrested at a home on Balfour Road in Shannon, North Carolina. Deputies found two handguns, fentanyl, cocaine, and various drug paraphernalia. Nesby faces numerous charges, including trafficking opiates and heroin and possession by a firearm by convicted felon.
A new study finds brain decline comes later in life than previously thought. Researchers from the Netherlands found that our brains only slow down development somewhere between ages 30 and 40. It has been previously thought the cutoff was 25. Now they say brain connections are actually faster as you pass 30 all the way up to 40, with connections moving twice as fast compared to that of four-year-olds. A drug-resistant fungus is spreading across the U.S., and the number of cases is growing in North Carolina. WRL has confirmed at least five reported cases in our state. This fungus is known as Candida auris. It spreads easily in healthcare settings and can be deadly in people who are already very sick. Doctors say healthy people are not at high risk. State leaders say they're working with healthcare facilities to stem the spread.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, Accenture is slashing 19,000 jobs worldwide. They are attempting to cut costs amid a gloomy economic picture. This is a professional services company with locations in Raleigh, Durham, as well as Charlotte. They say more than half of the axed roles will be among back office staff.
Signing up for an online subscription is easy as point and click. Not so much when it's time to cancel. Up next, the federal government's plan to help ease the hassle.
Plus, Uber is giving customers who don't have their app a new way to book a ride. What influenced the company to offer this new option? And you're looking live at beautiful Beaufort right now as you watch WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. That shot never gets old.
I want to go there.
Right on, yeah. A lot of folks are relying on subscription services for everything from entertainment to clothing, food. But, you know, as easy as it is to sign up, canceling can feel like navigating an endless maze.
Yeah, jumping through a lot of hoops. NBC's senior consumer investigative correspondent Vicky Nguyen explains the federal government's plan to help ease the struggle.
From streaming video and music platforms to meal kits and clothing, subscriptions and memberships now exist for nearly everything. One survey finding nearly 80% of adults worldwide now pay for a subscription service. All it takes to sign up? But when you want to cancel, many wonder, could it be any more complicated? Chandler trying once again to cancel his gym membership in this classic episode of Friends.
I want to quit the gym.
You do realize you won't have access to our new full-service suite of spa.
I want to quit the gym.
Some companies require you to show up in person to cancel or hit you with drawn-out sales pitches. Others offer confusing online directions and phone calls with longer-than-usual wait times. The Federal Trade Commission calls these dark pattern tactics designed to trick and trap consumers. Some expressing their frustration on social media.
It says, hey, how to end your subscription? Go to end subscription button, but it doesn't exist.
Now, the FTC sharing exclusively with Today, it is proposing a new rule to help.
What would this rule do for consumers? So this rule would basically make it so that companies have to make it as easy to cancel a subscription as they do to sign up.
FTC Chair Lina Khan says the rule would require businesses to allow customers to cancel subscriptions the same way they signed up for them, whether online or by phone, and in the same number of steps. They'd also have to disclose certain terms before collecting your billing information.
So they need to tell you how long the trial period goes for, clearly have to tell you by when you have to cancel.
What are you anticipating in terms of pushback from companies?
We welcome their comments and welcome seeing what their perspective is. But at the end of the day, consumers don't benefit if companies are tricking or trapping them.
Why now is this rule coming down?
The FTC has been bringing lawsuits against some of these practices for some time. We've put out guidance to put companies on notice. And we just realized it's not having a sweeping enough effect.
That was Vicky Nguyen. It could take up to 6 months or longer for the rule to potentially take effect. Experts say apps like Rocket Money or Mint can help you keep track of your subscriptions and always read the fine print before signing up. Now, if you take advantage of a free trial period, set a calendar reminder of when to cancel.
Sounds like a great service. Sign me up for today's weather. I can take that. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center. A little bit breezy out there by the Goldsboro camera, but really nice.
Okay, I've got Jeff down. How about you, Renee?
Sign me up. Sign me up.
Okay, all right.
We're in.
Don't expect to be able to cancel. You're going to want to cancel maybe next week because we're going to be back to the 60s again. But yes, some 80s on the way. Goldsboro, you can see how breezy it is there. The camera's moving around. At last check, our winds were steady out at the southwest at about 10 to 15. We're gusting about 15 to 20 right now. We'll see the breezy conditions through the afternoon. Lots of sunshine out there. We started very gray this morning, and we've cleared out nicely. We'll see clear skies tonight and tomorrow. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about Saturday. There's a look at our Durham newsroom there. People out enjoying the picnic tables, just getting outside, enjoying this gorgeous weather. Whatever it is you'd like to do today and tomorrow, really all weekend looks perfect for it. Right here, see this big circle that's happening on the map? This is a high pressure system. High pressure systems rotate clockwise, and this high sitting to our south, pulling up the warmth from the tropics and pushing it into North Carolina. And that is why our temperatures are so warm. And this high is going to hang out to our south for a while and keep our temperatures warm. Saturday is the next front that comes through. We have the potential for a few scattered showers, maybe an isolated storm. Right now, I don't expect us to see any severe weather out of this, but we could see that in parts of the deep south tomorrow. We're still going to be warm even once the front moves through. We'll take a look again at Saturday. We could start with clear skies, and then we'll begin to see the rain approaching us. Look at how little rain moves in. It's likely to be between 10 and noon, and then it just zips right on out, and we're finished with it. We should see some clearing in the afternoon there on Saturday. So a quick little shower in the morning and we're finished with it for the rest of the weekend, potentially. Here's a look at how much rain on Saturday, and we're talking about a few hundredths of an inch of rain, so very, very little. But let's talk about what happens with this front as it moves in and stalls here. This is Sunday at 5 o'clock, so there could be some showers that end up hanging out along the coast, and then we could see another wave that rides up along this front during the day on Monday and Tuesday. That is all a bit up in the air. The models are kind of all over the place on how far north that rain moves on Monday. It's possible that it stays to our south and Monday would end up being dry, but we're probably going to be on the cooler side of the front by Monday, not by Sunday, but by Monday and into Tuesday. Right now, we're looking at a 40% chance on Saturday. We're going to be watching for late Sunday, depending on where that front stalls, and then again on Monday as well, just kind of watching that placement of the front. The computer models, again, are diverging on that a little bit. We definitely have a high pollen count, and with these warm temperatures, that will continue. We're going to see highs in the 80s all the way through Sunday. And then if we do see some showers at the beginning of next week, it should begin to drop those numbers a little bit.
All right, Elizabeth, thank you. No more guessing which dog food is best for your fur baby. How dog owners can have customized refrigerated meals delivered right to their door.
First, here's a look at your winning Powerball numbers. We'll be right back. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Medicaid expansion is on its way to the governor's desk. The state house gave final approval this morning. Democrats in the chamber applauded the move. The governor says he looks forward to signing the legislation into law. There is a catch, though. The expansion does not actually go into effect until a new state budget is passed.
State Auditor Beth Woods' hit-and-run case is headed back to court this afternoon. She's charged with misdemeanor hit and run for a December 8th crash in downtown Raleigh. The case is scheduled to be heard in a session that starts at 2 this afternoon. WRL will be there and bring you updates on this story. The hearing comes a day after WRL broke the news that two other people were charged with helping Wood get away from the crash scene.
And we're getting our first look at a new electric SUV from VinFast. That's a Vietnamese-based company building a factory in Chatham County. Prices for the VF9 start at $83,000. Reuters says VinFast plans to sell the model in the U.S.
Some customers can now book an Uber with a phone call. The rideshare company says it understands that some customers prefer to talk to someone on the phone, so they're instituting this new option. The service is available in English and Spanish, and you must call from a cell phone so you can receive a text message. This new option is currently limited availability, but Uber plans to expand the service nationwide soon. Meal subscription plans are not just for people anymore. Petco and Freshpet have launched a new meal program for dogs. All you do is take a short quiz on the website. The meals will be determined by veterinary recommendations for the dog's age, activity level, and breed. The subscription meal program starts at $3 a day.
Today is National Puppy Day, and how fitting it is that our pet of the day is a four-month-old puppy looking for her forever home. Mimi is a spayed female puppy weighing 23 pounds. She was rescued from euthanasia because she has issues with her back legs. She tends to scoot herself around in pursuit of love, toys, or treats. Mimi is looking for a family who can see past her disability. Interested adopters can get more information at spcawake.org.
Get those dogs out and walk them today.
Yeah, you'll love the warmth and the sunshine. It's going to be a beautiful afternoon. NBC News Daily is next on WREL. And your next local news update coming up in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Enjoy the sunshine, warm temperatures out there. Have a great day.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.